Praise the Lord. Amen. We're just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father God, as I share a word with us this morning, I pray for your grace. I pray for your anointing. I pray, Father, that you will give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and eyes to see. I pray that you will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Father. Bless us, Lord, and help me, O Lord, as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you this morning to share the word of God with you. Today, I'll be sharing briefly about what has been our theme this year. At the beginning of the year, Pastor Glenn shared with us about that our theme will be about the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God means and how it applies to our lives. So today I'll be sharing a little bit about that. If you want a theme, the theme of my message is doing the will of God is the key to entering the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read a few passages, so if you just, you know, follow with me so that we can go through this together. Praise the Lord. So the key passage, the first passage I want us to read is taken from Matthew chapter 7, a passage probably that you're all familiar with. So just bear with me. Matthew chapter 7. Yeah? I'm going to read from verse 13 to verse 29, which is the end. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 7, from verse 13. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it. Because narrow is the gate and constricted is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it." Verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Do men gather grapes from thorns, figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree produces good fruits, but a corrupt tree produces bad fruits. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, neither can a corrupt tree produce good fruits. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. So then, by their fruits, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesied? Was it not in your name that we cast out demons? And in your name did many works of power?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone, therefore, who hears these words of mine and does them shall be likened to a prudent man who built his house on the rock." Hallelujah. "And the rain descended, and the rivers came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Hallelujah. "And everyone who hears these words of mine, but does not do them, shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When the rain descended, the rivers came, and the winds blew. They dashed against that house, and it fell, and its fall was great. And when Jesus has finished these words, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus, in this passage, kind of starts to give what I would call his manifesto, for his kingdom. And, he starts, from chapter 5, what is popularly known as the Sermon on the Mount, as you know. And he sets out, the Beatitudes. He sets out, how to live. He said, you've heard it said, but now I say to you. And by the time we get to chapter 7, which I'm going to be focusing on today, he basically rounds it up by saying, look, if you really want to follow me, you've got to enter through the narrow gate. And what really caught my attention, that I want to share with you today, is about how Jesus really starts to sort of say, look, not everyone who says, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And you probably, what I'm going to share today, hopefully, would help you to understand this passage a lot better. I used to think, that this passage is talking about salvation. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And, he says, I never knew you. Many will come to me in that day, the judgment day, saying, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And he will say, I never knew you. And I started to understand that actually the key, is what Jesus said in verse 21, where he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Which means that, normally, to be saved, the Bible says everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. We are saved by faith, through grace. So I used to think, well, that means, that the person was never a believer, in the first place. If he's saying that you can cast out demons in the name of Jesus, you can do all these things in the name of Jesus, and still Jesus will say, I never knew you. As he says here, he says, that many will come to me in that day and say, was it not in your name that we prophesied and in your name cast out demons and do many works of power? Then Jesus will declare, I never knew you. And to me, that means that, there's a level, to entering the kingdom of God, which is not just about salvation. Salvation is free. Salvation is by grace. The Bible says it is by grace that we are saved. And it is through faith. And it's the gift of God, not of works. So if Jesus is saying that not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father, that means he's talking about something else. That means he's talking about, the kingdom of heaven, is a reward, for those who choose to follow him by doing what he wants. And he explains it a bit further from verse 24 of the passage that we just read. He says, everyone therefore who hears these words of mine and does them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. So it's like continuing the same thoughts. Not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what the will of my Father is. I asked myself, what is the will of the Father? You know, what is the will of God? I'm sure you've had this question. You know, the will of God is to do what pleases him. Is to do what pleases him. And Jesus is basically saying, if you've heard the Sermon on the Mount, everything that I've said, from chapter 5 to chapter 7, he says, he who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house on the rock. And it's a picture of, you know, when we go before God, Jesus has set out the manifesto. He set out how we should live as kingdom people. He said, the first thing he said in chapter 5 was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the first thing, you know, to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven is to come with humility, you know, recognizing that we are spiritually poor, that, you know, that we are not in ourselves. And actually, it's the exact opposite of being in the kingdom of this world. And Jesus kind of is saying, look, in order to find out what pleases me, we need to know what he wants. You know, if we don't know what our Father wants, how are we going to actually know and do his will? We need to know what he wants, first and foremost. And this Bible is like what sets out what the Father wants. You know, Jesus is saying, you know, he said in so many places, he said, look, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it. But narrow is the gate and constricted is the way that leads to life, but few are those who find it. You know, I reflected on that, and it kind of made me realize, you know, that Jesus is talking about, there's a way to follow me, which means that we have to choose to surrender our will. You know, when we become Christians, you know, when we become saved, it's like the beginning of a journey. Just like the disciples were walking with Jesus, you know, for 3.5 years before he left this earth. It's like the beginning of the journey. And Jesus says that many will try to enter through the kingdom, but they will not be able to enter because it's a discovery of knowing the Father's will. You know, the will of God is revealed in the scriptures. You know, it's both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's really, sometimes, you know, in my journey, I've kind of, you know, I ask myself, you know, I want to know what God wants. But you can't know what God wants if you don't read the Bible. You know, because he has revealed everything about himself in the Bible. So sometimes it's like, you know, Lord, if I really know what you want me to do, then I would do it. But I'm trying to ask God to tell me something specific, but God has revealed his general will. So if you want to know the specific, you know, in terms of whether God wants you to go to India or he wants you to go do something specific, you've got to know the general before you can know the specific. And that comes with walking very closely with him. The will of God is also revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is like the will of God personified. Do you know the will of God for your life? That's the question I keep asking myself. Do I know the will of God? Because Jesus says, not everyone who says, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father. So we need to know what the will of the Father is for us. You know, he clearly sets out in the Sermon on the Mount that, you know, for instance, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So if you want to see God, You have to purify your heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. If you want to be satisfied with God, you've got to be hungry to see justice. You've got to be hungry to see righteousness, you know, established. So he sets out so many things, you know. Another one that he said, you know, which the disciples were like, what? Was, you know, when he talked about things like, you know, anger, dealing with anger. He said, look, you know, you've heard it said, do not murder. But actually, it starts with the heart. So sometimes, you know, it's like we think the will of God is just something outward. It's also about our hearts and our attitudes. Have you asked God what he wants from you? Because, you know, he's actually wanting to reveal his heart, you know, to us. You know, we heard, I don't know if it was last Sunday or the Sunday before last, that Jesus came down from heaven to do the will of his Father. And we are his followers. We are his disciples. He said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. The same applies to us. You know, we are on this earth because Jesus has saved us, and he has a plan. He has a will that he wants us to fulfill. He has a mission that he wants us to fulfill. And I think when we discover what God wants for us and start moving in it, our life will be a lot more fulfilled. You know, it's like you're discovering why you were born. You know, and it's something joyful. It's something, you know, that will bring release, you know, to all the talents and all the gifting that God has put in us. Another passage that actually brings that to light is, you know, when Jesus said to his disciples, when he was, in Samaria, you know, and he said, the disciples were like worried about him eating food and something. And he said, look, I have food to eat. I have nourishment to eat, you know, that you don't know anything about. And he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. What is your food? What are you living for? What gives you the greatest joy? Is it the will of God? Is it doing what your Father wants? Jesus said, what gives me the greatest joy is to do the will of my Father. And I believe that is basically saying it's not enough for us to know what the Word of God says. It's not enough for us to know what the will of God is. Too often we settle at knowing instead of going all out to do what we know the Father wants us to do. Jesus came to do what his Father came to ask him to do. And that's, you know, repeated again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 and 7. I'm just going to read that very quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. It says, therefore, coming into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices you did not delight. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written concerning me to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and he calls us to do the same. And that is what he says, you know, that it's not everyone. If you don't want to do the will of the Father, then you're not going to be in a position to inherit the kingdom of them, because it's not for everyone. You know, and that's the whole, you know, the whole point about Jesus coming is basically to raise a bride that will be by his side when he comes back to rule on earth. So we have to be committed to do what he wants, even if it means death. Jesus was willing to do his Father's will, even if it meant death on the cross for our sins. He calls us to have the same attitude. When doing what God wants is all that matters to us, even more important than living. That's why in Matthew chapter 26, it says that, you know, when he was in the garden, you know, travailing for our sins, travailing about going to the cross for us, you know, he said, "Father, I pray for this, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. But nevertheless, not what I want, but your will be done." That's what it's about. Jesus will bring us to the same crossroad that he went through. You know, even as children of God, God will always bring us to a crossroad where it's a battle of wills. Am I going to do what I want, or am I going to do what God wants? And some of us might be going through that right now, where you're asking, am I going to do what I want, or am I going to do what God wants? The cross of Christ is where our desires and God's desires will clash. Which one is going to prevail? In order to do what God wants, that is the will of God, daily I have to say no to myself, take up my cross, and follow him. I think a very good example is when Peter got the revelation that he was the Christ. And from that moment, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus began to talk about his death. And Peter was like, you know, that can never happen. Because our idea of what God wants is prosperity, everything going smooth in our life. You know, but in Matthew chapter 16, after Peter had just confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." You know, and then he told him not to tell anyone about it until he has risen from the dead. And then he began to speak to them and say, "Look, the Son of Man will suffer many things and be crucified," and you know, and they were like, "No, God forbid. God forbid." You know, but what did Jesus say? What Jesus said was really, really instructive. Matthew chapter 16, I'm just going to read the back end of it. You know, he said, "Get thee behind me." So Peter took him aside from verse 22, Matthew chapter 16. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him and saying, "God be merciful to you. This shall by no means happen to you." But Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." And then Jesus said, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me." Jesus was basically showing us in this passage that doing what God wants sometimes is not comfortable for our flesh. Because the way that God thinks and the way that we think is different. He said, you're not having in mind the things of God, you're having in mind the things of men. Man was always thinking about self-preservation. You're not going to die. But God's will was that Jesus was going to die in order to bring life. So it brings us back to, if we to know what God wants, we have to start thinking the way that God thinks. This means that doing what God wants means putting aside what we think, what we feel, and what we want. This is why Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God wants, his good will, his pleasing will, and his perfect will." So unless we are renewing our mind based on what the scriptures say, what we want and what we think will be clashing with what God really wants. So first of all, we must refuse to be conformed, you know, to the patterns of this world. This world is way of living, is way of being, the customs of this world, the way of thinking, you know, is completely opposite to the way of the kingdom of God. You know, John in his letter, you know, basically sets it out so clearly. He says in First John chapter 2 verse 15, he says, "Do not let this world squeeze you into his mold, his way of thinking, his way of lifestyle. Love not the world, nor the things in this world." Thank you, Lord. "Love not the world, nor the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. Because all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The world is passing away and is lost, but he who does the will of God will abide forever." Hallelujah. What a contrast. What a contrast. It says, if we love the world, we're showing that the love of the Father is not in us. The love of the world comprises of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust, the pride of life. And he contrasts it with a man who does what God wants. So if we want to live forever with Jesus and inherit the rewards that he has promised to those who do what he wants, we need to shun this world's system, this world's values. Because he contrasts it with the man who does what God wants will abide forever. Let the Holy Spirit be the one who guides and shapes our thoughts and our behavior. You cannot know what God wants without renewing your mind by meditating on the scriptures and letting the Holy Spirit teach you and lead you into all truth. The whole system of this world is opposed to what God wants. Praise the Lord. But just as the word of God that lives forever, God wants us to value his word more than anything else. Then we will build our life on a foundation that when the storms come, when the day of judgment come, our work, our life, the fruit of our lives will stand the test of judgment. Praise the Lord. Church, God wants us to persevere in doing what he wants. And he has promised that when we do that, we will receive the reward of his kingdom. And that is reigning with Christ. Just like we sang in that song, when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation to take me home. What joy shall fill my heart. You know, the writer of the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, says, you have need of something. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 35. He says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Do not throw away your faith. Do not throw away your belief, your confidence, which has great reward. He says, you have need of patience, of endurance, in order that having done the will of God, you may obtain the promise. For in a very little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by his belief. And if he shrinks back, my soul does not delight in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to ruin, but of those who believe to the gaining of the soul. The writer of the Hebrews is basically echoing the same thing in Matthew chapter 7. You need to persevere. There will be many challenges for us as believers, but when we persevere to the end, there is a great reward. That's what Jesus is saying consistently. You know, even in the Beatitudes, he said, look, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great is your reward in heaven. So this is not often taught. You know, we focus too much on we are saved is by the grace of God, but there's a life of following Jesus where Jesus wants us to be committed to doing what he wants. So the will of God here in this context is for the Hebrew believers to continue in the new covenant. They were tempted to go back to what they knew. You know, they were, you know, very comfortable, but they were starting to have difficulties. They were being persecuted for their faith in Christ. And they were like, let me just go back to Judaism. Let me just go back to, you know, this Jesus thing is, you know, causing so much problem. And that's why the writer of the Hebrews said that, you know, you need to persevere. Don't give up. Don't give up your faith because of the challenges you're going through. Remain with the church, he said. Don't shrink back to Judaism. Endure the persecution, and you will receive the promise of a great reward when Jesus Christ comes back. Praise the Lord. So just a few final thoughts about how do we know, how do we find out what God wants? How do we find out and do what God wants? The first one is spending time with Jesus. You know, Jesus said to the disciples and to the Pharisees, he said, look, you think that by studying the scriptures, you have eternal life, but these scriptures speak about me. So getting into the kingdom is about Jesus. He is the expression of God's will. And in order to know what he wants and what is on his heart, for us as individuals, for us as a church, for us as a family, we need to spend time with him. We have to go to him because the scriptures testify of him. Number two, to find out what pleases him by studying and obeying his word. Ephesians 5:10, it says, find out what pleases me by renewing your mind. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Polar opposites. It's so clear, you know, to be drunk with wine doesn't please the Lord, but to be filled with the Spirit pleases the Lord. We also learn the will of God by doing what we already know to be right. James chapter 1 verse 22 simplifies. It says, do not merely listen to what you hear, deceiving yourself, but do what it says. Number four, walking by faith and believing in the promises of God, because it is impossible to please him without faith. So it's one thing to know what God wants, but then we have to trust him, because he says in his word, without belief, without trusting him, we can't even please him. Fellowshipping with other believers in a small group, in a large group, many times God's will is revealed as we are fellowshipping together. It's there in the Bible. You know, the apostles and a few other guys were praying together, and the Holy Spirit said, set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them. So there's a role of fellowship in also finding out, what is my calling? What is my gifting? Where do I fit in? What's my place? Because God has put something in each and every one of us that nobody else can do. And that comes from fellowshipping with him. Praise the Lord. Thank you.